part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Well, good evening, good evening, good evening to you, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are powered by SID Media. It is the 12th of November at 2024. We are about a month and a half or thereabouts before the end of the year. Yes, we were, of course, in the year 2024, which has been dubbed, I understand, the year of soaring, because it was called 2020 Soar. And I hope that you've been soaring. If not, at least you've got a month and a half or thereabouts for you to soar a little bit. You can still make it. Today is Technology Innovations and, of course, Tuesday, where we try and keep up with the trends that's happening in the world. And today is no different. We're talking about the future of privacy in the digital world. The future of privacy in the digital world. Now, privacy is a critical issue in our increasingly digital world. I think the world is so digitized these nowadays that our privacy is at risk. The future then of privacy is likely to be shaped by a combination of technological advancements, legal and regulatory changes, and shifting public attitudes as well. So let's talk about then the issue of data privacy and its impact in business and consumers alike. And joining us this evening as our expert on this one, it is a friend of the show, Ronald, joining us this evening. Good evening, sir, and welcome to the show once again.
Good evening, Jabelo. Thank you so much, and I'm happy to be here.
Ah, we are very happy to have you on board, as always, and we thank you for your time. How's the year so far for you? Are you soaring? Some people are saying we must soar in 2024.
Yeah, look, we always sit what we sit, and then the year takes its own turn.
I know, right?
But we are grateful. We are grateful to be alive at the very least.
Definitely,
you know?
Definitely. Yeah. Any fatigue?
Sorry?
Are you experiencing any fatigue?
Oh, yeah. A couple of weeks ago, I had that fatigue, so yeah. I'm in the capital city of Harare,
yes.
But I was born and bred in Kwekwe.
Yeah,
and I always go down to Kwekwe.
Yeah.
I go to the farm.
Yeah,
there's very bad network there.
Yeah.
I don't have my laptop. WhatsApp doesn't really work, so
yes.
I go there for a weekend.
Yeah,
I sleep.
Then
I come back. So,
yeah, so you use it to rejuvenate.
So I always need those reports.
You use Kwekwe to rejuvenate and just take up a little bit of strength to get through the rest of the other days, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's my safe haven.
Ah, safe haven. That's lovely. Okay. For people who may not know Ronald, we know you very well and we appreciate your time, and we've done some bit of great work, and this is a incredibly increasing segment of the show, and we are really grateful to our listeners and experts like yourselves who join us for this particular segment. But it's growing quite very well. Can you introduce yourself once again to some of our listeners, new listeners who may not know you and what you do?
All right, so Ronald is a tech enthusiast. We run a company that's into technology solutions and technology trainings. We help African entrepreneurs to scale their businesses with solutions that are both cost-effective as well as they speak to the African context.
Mm.
And I'm happy to also announce that we now work closely with an organization that is donor-funded, and we are offering the same technology education to the less privileged children.
Oh, lovely.
So what we do is we look for funding,
yes.
And then we then offer a scholarship to children between 18 to 25, and they come into a 12-month boot camp.
Sure.
They learn UX, UI, software development, and digital marketing for 12 months. For the first 6 months, they do crash off everything, and they zero in on what they are good at in the last few months, in the last 6 months. Then after that, we try to place them into internships.
Yeah.
At these companies, hoping if possible, they can then be absorbed by the company.
By the company.
Wherever we would have placed
them. That's great work. That's great work. Congratulations on that, eh?
Thank you so much. Yeah. It's by the grace.
No. That's really amazing work. Really, really appreciate it. And like I say, congratulations on that. Okay, sure. You're doing some great work. You just gave me goosebumps on that. And it's because if you think about digital transformation and technology, African children don't get the opportunity for such things, eh?
Absolutely. I mean, they're roaming the streets. And guess what? Our boot camps are competing with the drugs and substance abuse, you know, so
sure.
It is the child who really values, who then sees the opportunity. So from roaming the streets to becoming a resource to the world, you know.
No, you do amazing work there, Robert, and God bless you for that. So that's amazing. Okay. Privacy in the digital world, particularly looking at it from the future of it or the trends. But I want to then come back from a definitions point of view. The difference between privacy and security. What's the difference? How do we not get it wrong?
Okay, so when we're looking at privacy, we are talking about controlling access to personal information and deciding who can view it or use it. If you've got a, at the basic minimum, if you've got an Instagram account where you put your account on private or public, so someone who wants to see your account, if it's on private, they have to request access.
Yes.
So some people, you can either deny or accept. So it's just about controlling the access to personal information.
Okay.
And then with the security, that focuses on safeguarding data from unauthorized access. So the security aspect comes in when you log into your account. As a whole, you've got a password, you will use authentication, maybe you're using your fingerprints. So whatever you are handling, someone cannot come in and just take whatever you have in that account or on a platform and expose it to the world.
Okay. Are we not playing with English words here?
With what?
Are we not playing with English words? Does it not? Is it not the same thing here? And I'm asking particularly then to say, perhaps the difference is in the role of privacy as well as the role of security. Is that how, looking at it like that, am I looking at it the correct way? Because it sounds like we are doing the same thing here.
Okay, so I'll give an example.
Yes.
When you use a new phone, right? When you log into a new phone, have you seen those terms and conditions that you constantly, like if you don't press I agree,
it's not gonna move.
It's not gonna move, right?
That
has nothing to do with your security, because it's just about, because if you read through those terms, they're simply asking to use your information. Like, I don't know if you have, like when you say maybe you want to log into some application and then you say use Google account. Right. And then it says the application is asking to get access to your contacts. To get access to this.
True.
That's about privacy.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Yes. But if that's about like what it's asking is, once you give it access, it then gets to know who's in your contact list. Right. But now, that application cannot cannot get, unless you say, I want to use this application, right? It can't get access to your personal information unless you use it. So it's pretty much like you walk into a shop, right? And they ask you for your phone number and or email, right? Maybe to add to your receipt. They are asking for your private information, right? So you are allowed to ask them what you want to use it for. Yes. If they say they want to send you address, then that's okay. But if you then find them selling that information to someone else, then that's breach of privacy.
Right?
Then when we talk of security, security is now, let's say you give your phone number to someone, to a shop, or your email account, then you find those same people you've given your email account trying to access your email account. So security comes in through the password, right?
Yeah, safe
code. And also the security aspect is where it asks you, there is someone trying to access your device from a certain location. Is that you? If yes, click yes, and then they ask you to match a number. Yes.
That makes sense.
To do with security, unauthorized access.
Okay. Thank you so much, Ronald, for that. I think it really then clears the objectives or the role of privacy, I suppose. What is it trying to achieve, as well as what is the role of security and what we're trying to achieve there. So then my question is, we've got businesses that, you know, small businesses, big businesses, maybe big businesses have got mechanisms and all that. But perhaps for small businesses, why is data privacy important? Why should they take care of data privacy?
Okay, so it's a legal and regulatory compliance.
Okay.
Yes, they must make sure that whatever data they have access to, they must keep it safe. Think of it, your surgery, your friend just graduated and they have opened a surgery and you're working with them, right? The olden days, you'd have a file as you walk in and then they start accessing your information from a file.
Yeah.
But let's say they now use a system, right? They use a system and you're putting in into their system, they're logging in that you've got BP, maybe you've got HIV and AIDS in there.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you're getting different pharmacies marketing to you, telling you that you've got cheaper ARVs in this shop, you know. Do you want everyone to know that information? So it's very critical for businesses to make sure that the information that you share with them, if it's online, is safe and it's secure.
Right? That makes sense.
The same way with a banking application. Imagine you start seeing adverts from all over the moment money gets into your account. That would be suspicious.
And I'm thinking so you can go.
So that affects. That means people, if they should, they must be concerned because it affects the trust and confidence that clients have in the business.
It also
affects their brand.
I was actually wanting to ask that very question because one of the things that we are now learning, and I had a conversation with one of your colleagues in this space last week, talking about how the protection of security, protection of data, privacy, and all those sort of stuff are fast becoming almost a competitive advantage in the small business world, because no one wants to know that this little surgery that I go to, which has got my health data, is not taking care of those things, or this little, I suppose, coffee shop somewhere that asked for my data when I was coming in to buy coffee or whatever. Now, all of a sudden, like you said, I'm getting adverts from nowhere. It's clearly saying they are not protecting my data. And so companies and small businesses that are not protecting people's privacy and data are fast going to get out of business.
Absolutely. Even with like internet service providers, right? they have access to what you're streaming.
Yes.
They have access to the sites that you visit. I know Facebook does that. And
yeah.
The moment you type, I want a car, then before it is now... is now sending you adverts
yes,
all over.
Yes.
But I mean, there's other information. Let's say you want to be a whistleblower. We spoke about this a few weeks ago.
Yes.
Yeah, you want to be a whistleblower, and then it leads back to you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
you're not where you wanted to remain anonymous.
Yeah.
You're no more anonymous.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So. What is then the best way to enforce this data privacy without, I suppose, affecting innovation in the process? And I think the other blue company, which is a social media company, has also had some lawsuits around data privacy in their course of becoming innovative and all that, and trying to get the blue social media platform a little bit more innovative, responding to algorithmic things and making sure it churns out to you what you want to see on social media and all. So they've been taken to task. So what is then the best way to enforce that?
Yeah, they actually had data privacy incident, and it led to like some public backlash.
Yes.
And reduced user trust and financial penalties as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the best way to enforce is we need to have a balancing act, you know, where companies just practice transparent data collection, allowing users to consent to sharing information only when necessary.
Mm.
You know, simple things like that question where it asks you allow sharing of location, whether I'm using the application or when I'm offline. You know, let's say you Facebook can only be allowed to use your location, so you wouldn't want a situation where you have clicked don't allow, and then the next time you travel to a different place or to a next restaurant, and then it's suggesting to you, do you want to check into this place? How does it know? We I just ask it not to, you know,
not to do that. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's then look at it from a small business point of view. And I think I'm just trying to drive this point here. When you look at it from a small business point of view, would that not necessarily put them at risk? Because the only way they can pivot and grow is if they can out-innovate, if there's such a word, but out-innovate those big ones that are, I suppose, balked by regulation and all those sort of stuff. Which I'm not necessarily saying is not important for small businesses to have such regulation, data privacy regulations and all that. They won't necessarily be, you know, put under pressure?
Look, it's like a chicken and egg.
Yes, yes.
You know, I think especially with small organizations or small businesses, you know, things like use of AI and automation can actually help monitor data compliance and quickly respond to new privacy threats, making you know, privacy management scalable and efficient. You can also have privacy by design. You know, incorporating privacy principles during product development, minimizing data collection. So, I mean, the beauty about AI is that we feed it scenarios.
True.
Yeah, then you can actually use AI or chatbots to get feedback from different people. So we can have a balance there than to run a survey where people actually put in their email addresses and then their information is exposed.
Yes.
And then the next thing, because you want your information to sound real, then you have to actually include that so-and-so said this.
Okay, let's talk about then the trade-off between privacy and I suppose convenience. in our digitized world and digitized future? Or do you see a situation where people will reclaim some sort of control? And I suppose, I don't know if that will herald a new era in the internet, but do you see a trade-off between privacy and convenience?
Okay, so there's definitely a rise in personal data control.
Yeah.
There's a growing demand for user-centric models where individuals control what data is shared. Yeah, so it's also important, whilst you want to share data, users must also have
some control
of what is actually shared. Like, I mean, if you look at DuckDuckGo,
yeah,
the searching,
yeah,
you know, it's an alternative to Google,
mm-hmm.
prioritizing the privacy over the convenience.
So are consumers then are forced to choose one or the other and can't have both?
You realize if you're now putting the two on the table,
yeah,
many users will still accept the trade-offs, such as location tracking for navigation apps, though there is a notable rise in users rejecting such terms.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't use the app without that.
Yeah.
But you'll find the majority of people, and that should guide the application, the owner of the application, on what users actually want and don't want.
That's interesting. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, between the two, I would definitely like an innovative app, like you're saying, but not one that exposes me in terms of my data. So I suppose you're quite right in saying users have accepted the trade-off, and we live with that trade-off because I think in the balance of scale, I love your innovative app, but if it's going to track me, and I said, no, I don't want to be tracked, and then it still continues to track me, then the next thing I'm going to do is really delete that app because it's not doing what I'm telling it to do, as innovative as it might be. But no, man, I don't want my data shared in a way. But maybe, like you're saying, then ask me. Maybe that's the best way to kind of bring the two worlds together, where you ask people for permission on these things.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at future tech like blockchains, they are giving individuals more control, promoting user-owned internet. So you have slightly more control, and there is hope that whilst you're getting the convenience, you still maintain that privacy.
Yeah. Okay. I want us to then get into the trends and predictions that you are seeing as someone in this space. But before we get into that one, some thought has been triggered in my mind, and this thought is that there seems to be some settings, for example, in certain apps, and even in certain phones for that matter, that I won't necessarily mention the phones, but even in those phones where you literally have to go and gray certain settings, and it doesn't necessarily ask you, but it just has an automatic it automatically allows certain things, and then you have to go and switch them off, like literally. And some of us are not that tech savvy. We don't know those things. I just buy this phone, like it and all, but it comes with certain settings around my data and all that that are enabled without me even knowing about that. How do we keep abreast of these things?
Yeah, so you find that there are some technologies that are now summarizing the terms and conditions, such that you know exactly what's going on. Because, I mean, they also get away with the fine print. I mean, they give you 30 pages to read, and you're not going to read the 30 pages.
Exactly.
But we've seen a shift towards summarization of what they are asking for.
Yeah.
And I'm not too sure if we still have options to opt out, because it's also a balance. You know, information right now is what is selling,
yes,
right? If I know what the most sought after product in Cape Town is, before breakfast, whether it's a celery based shake or it's a carrot based shake. If I know that information, then I know it affects the whole value chain, right? People who are growing celery, growing certain products. If you're using those wristwatches that allow you to track the number of steps per day, then people can know that there is an increasing trend of people wanting to become health conscious.
Yeah.
Then you as a business owner know that there's hope for your business. So it's a trade-off. They also need that information to make their predictive forecast.
Yeah.
But the issue of being selling information, then there lies the problem. So I'm yet to see people who will actually allow you to opt out of certain settings.
Ooh, that's interesting. Yeah. That's interesting. I'm actually thinking now as well that perhaps it helps, that information perhaps helps them insofar as improvements, right? Whether it's the phone, when they track certain things, then they know the next iteration of the phone needs to have this and that and that and that, because this is what is coming out from the data that they are seeing. If it's an app again, if it doesn't allow people to opt out of certain things, it can then help them with the next iteration of the same app. I get that, but sometimes it can be very difficult, right?
I mean, think of it. Think of a banking app, right?
Yes.
Which is also connected to third-party apps. Maybe it's Take a Lot.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know if you can buy groceries off Take a Lot, but let's say if the application that you use to buy groceries, let's say people in the morning when they want to look for breakfast, what are the combinations that people are buying?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Maybe it's coffee and a scone.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's in winter, and then you start seeing a change in summer. Maybe people are buying now a cold juice and a scone, or maybe a cold juice with a sandwich with tomato, onion. Mm. You know, that can actually then tell you how to prepare for the next season.
Yes,
you know, and how to. So that information is very, very critical.
Very
for
critical, yeah.
The business owner, the person who's selling. Yes.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to collect when people are using an application.
Yeah. So hide those settings. Don't necessarily tell them. Maybe to make it a little bit fairer, on some of the others, allow them to opt out. But the critical ones that you know are really, really critical for data and decision making as a supermarket, don't allow them to opt out. It's an interesting world we live in, and those dynamics are quite very interesting. Okay, so what are the trends that you are seeing then in the future of privacy?
Yeah, so you will definitely have increased regulations.
Okay.
As privacy concerns grow, because more governments are introducing data protection laws.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this: in some parts of this world, like the third world, you know, some of our laws don't exactly define what data protection means, and they also don't exactly know what and what not to protect. Yeah, so you'll see a bit more of that as people become more adaptive to technology.
Yeah.
You'll see more decentralized technologies.
Okay.
Blockchains, as mentioned, and decentralized systems that offer ways for users to store and share their data securely.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was gonna go back to the regulation bit of it, because you mentioned the word regulation to any single person, the average person. You mentioned regulation, their antennas are up. Questions around why do you want to regulate? What's the objective? bills around regulation take forever in parliaments across the world because people just are jittery when you mention the word regulation there. So we're still going to be having this regulation for some time in the, even in the data privacy space.
I mean, if you look at Brazil, they have laws that mandate data protection measures, you know, requiring businesses to adhere to strict privacy practices, lest they face like heavy fines, you know. And that is, we're going to see more of that. We're going to see more of that because it's not. I'll give an example of what's happened in Equatorial Guinea, right? That's by law, that person must be protected, whatever for whatever he has done. But if that information was on a server somewhere, right, and then it was exposed from a server, then that would be a data breach. So we're going to see more laws defining that because of incidences that happen around data. So they start to evolve, and we also see consumer demand in for transparency. Consumer expectations for clear privacy practices. Companies will adopt user-friendly privacy statements. So that we're going to see more of that in the future. Websites that will offer easy to read privacy summary instead of those legal jargon, attracting privacy conscious customers. Like you were saying, you've got these, this whole terminology, like you need a dictionary for every sentence. And just someone trying to tell you that this is wrong or this is what we're using your data for. So you'll find your information people will use more user-friendly language in the future and summarize it as well.
Summarized as well. Last one. Are people feeling spooked by all these data privacy issues? Are we being bombarded intentionally by these things? Or really, there is a huge business case for it?
So, data, as we speak, is one of the most... It's like gold at the moment.
It's currency, yeah.
Yeah, it's information is what's selling at the moment. Organizations that have information have they so most of spending for a lot of organization is going towards research. If we make this conclusion, right? It's not that it's correct, but there is a e-hailing service that we have in the country. One of them that doesn't yet charge the driver. You know, and they are not collecting revenue after the driver has carried someone. And the conclusion that we made is that these guys are just doing market research. They are mapping out all the routes. They are mapping out all the roads. And after three, they will know all the routes. And for whatever information they need that for, it's information that no one has. Yeah, so that... It's a gold mine when you talk of information.
That will obviously shape their business case and how they then rebrand, re-come into the market. They would have had all the data, the routes, the everything, the corners that maybe other e-hailing platforms might not necessarily have, since maybe some are piggybacking on your maps, for example, that are already there, which in their own are not really that extensive in some instances. Yeah, amazing. Okay, all right. Final thoughts there. The future of privacy in a digital world. Regulation is going to be important. Decentralized systems, we're going to see quite a bit of that. Transparency is becoming a thing. Data is becoming currency, and it already is currency, and people's data is very, very important. So those are some of my key takeaways that I got there. I just want to give you a moment as well, just to sum it up as we end this one.
Okay, so we must understand that the importance of privacy and security, right? Both as distinct, but they are interrelated, and they are vital for fostering trust in the digital age. You know, and it's important to balance convenience and privacy. Innovation and also encourage people to consider their own priorities, privacy priorities in their personal and professional life. You know, it's important for everyone to stay informed about privacy trends, right? And be responsible for your own data practices and prioritize your privacy in the digital, in your digital habits. You are also responsible at the end of the day for your own data, you know? I wouldn't encourage people to post information in real time, you know, when you travel. Avoid, I mean, it's not bad to post your children on socials, but avoid over-sharing information. Avoid, you know, capturing. I mean, why are people recording funny things, you know? Avoid certain things. You know, so be aware that your information, the moment you click yes to, or you agree to terms, it's no longer private. Even if you delete it off Facebook, it remains somewhere in somewhere, you know. So people must read, people must stay abreast of what's going on.
That's very true. That's very true. Well, thanks, Ronald. Really appreciate your time. And once again, God bless you with your work as well.
Thank you so much, Sabelo. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Have a good evening. That was Elder Ronald there talking to us about data privacy, especially in a digital world. Here's Kuningi, and it just keeps on getting Kuningia.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.